of Genesis the last two Sundays. I want you to turn to the book of Genesis to chapter number 22. I have not looked through the quarterly to find out if we're going to get to the 22nd chapter of this quarter, but if we do, I'm going to beat it to it. 22nd chapter of Genesis. I want to read the first 8 verses. Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that Jesus did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give thee into the land of Moriah. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and claimed the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the 3rd day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I want to make some clarification to begin with. It was testing time. Likely one of the most difficult temptations or tests that anyone in the Bible ever had. To begin though, there are 2 or 3 things that I want to make clear from the verses that I've just read. In that first verse, the Bible says, And God did tempt Abraham. So I want you to remember what I say now, and it is very important that you understand, God did not tempt Abraham to sin. God never tempts man to sin. God never tempts man to do wrong. The Bible says Satan is the deceiver. Satan is the tempter. Keep that in mind. Satan is the one that tempted Eve, that we studied about in the lesson this morning, the first part of the Old Testament. Satan is the one that tempted Jesus in the wilderness in the first part of the New Testament, and I say this today, and Satan is still tempting people today to sin. But God never tempts a man to sin. In the 2nd verse, God said to Abraham, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Again, I want to clarify. Although Abraham had fathered another son, it was fathered by Abraham and Hagar. His name was Ishmael, and Ishmael was not the son of promise. And all the promises that God had given to Abraham was to have to be with Abraham and his son with Isaac, his son Isaac with Sarah. And so all the blessings that God promised upon the nations of the world through Abraham was to come through Isaac, the son of promise. When he said, Thine only son, he was talking about thine only son of promise, the only son that will bring forth of the lineage of Abraham, be a blessing to the world, to the nation of the world, and bring forth the Messiah. Amen. Understand that as well. In the 3rd verse, he said, Get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there, offer Isaac there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And I leave this with you today, just a thought, that the Mount Moriah, one of the mountains of Moriah, that God has said to offer your son Isaac. 1,000 years later, King Solomon built the temple, the magnificent temple of Mount Moriah. And they tell me tradition, this is Jewish tradition, that the altar that Abraham made that day on Moriah, the place his son Isaac to offer for sacrifice, is the very spot where the altar of the temple that Solomon built, right there in the same spot is where the altar of the temple was that was built 1,000 years later. That's tradition. That's not in the Bible, but that's Jewish tradition. But then I go further. I come to the 5th verse. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. Let me tell you what that verse says and what Abraham believed. He said to the young servants, stay right here. I and the lad are going yonder. I and the lad are going there to worship, and I and the lad will come back. He believed that if when he took his son's life as a sacrifice, God would raise him from the dead, because God had promised to that son, Isaac, that God was going to bless the nations of the world. God makes a promise, brother, you can stand on it.
That's right.
Read the book of Hebrews. He believed that he was coming down the mountain with Isaac, even after he took his life as a sacrifice, offered him as a sacrifice. And then I come to the 8th verse, 7th verse. Tells us that while they were ascending the mountain, Isaac said to his father, we've got the fire and we've got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb for burnt offering? Where is the sacrifice? Abraham responded in the 8th verse, and he said to his son, our God will supply. God will provide. I want to stop there for a moment. We studied years ago the 7 compound titles of Jehovah God. Mark that down. Maybe you'd like to write them down. The 7 compound titles of Jehovah God as they relate to believers. Keep that in mind. As they relate to believers. The redeemed. The saints. 7 compound titles. Before I list them, let me just make a statement. 7 in the Bible is the number of completion. Have you heard that? 7 is the number of completion in the Bible. When God had John to write the 7 write letters to the churches in Asia Minor, he said, write letters to 7 churches. There were many more churches than that, but I want you to just pick out the 7 that I tell you. Then there was a book with 7 seals. There was 7 trumpets. There was 7 vials. You remember when Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan River over into the Promised Land, and they came to the first city of Jericho. God said, I'm going to give you a plan, and if you obey the plan, you'll have the victory. Let me leave this with you today. God's given us a plan. If we'll obey the plan, we'll live in victory. He said, now when you come to Jericho, I want you to march around it 7 days. And on the 7th day, I want you to march around it 7 times. And on the 7th time around, on the 7th day, when the trumpet was sounded and the people began to shout, the walls will come down.
Yes.
They shouted before the walls came down. Why did they shout? Because God said they would.
Yes.
We wait till we see it and then we shout.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
We ought to shout when He promises it.
Amen.
Because His promises are yea and amen. Did you know there are 7 colors in the rainbow? There are 7 notes to the musical scale. There are 7 as you go. 7 wonders of the world. And on and on and on. 7 is the completion, the number of completion. I want to preach briefly and then finish up with number 7. I want to preach briefly to begin with of the 7 compound titles of Jehovah God. I realize, listed first, is Jehovah Jireh. But I'm going to leave that to number 7. I'd like to start this morning with Jehovah. The first that I have listed is Jehovah Rapha. I hope that you'll understand where I'm coming from here, because God has said, I'll provide. Abraham said, God will provide Himself a lamb. We're talking about God's titles in relation to redeemed man. If we'll understand that, we'll follow that, we'll realize that God shall take care. Jehovah Rapha, number 1, means the Lord that healeth. Notice, if you will, the word healeth. It's in the present tense. Not only did God heal one time, not only did God heal in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God still heals today. Amen. According to the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they came across, came out to the wilderness, came to the Promised Land, the Bible says that God healed every one of them that was suffering, that had any kind of affliction. God had a mass healing. 3 million strong, and not a one of them suffering pain, affliction. One moment's time, God healed them all. Can He still heal today? Surely. He said that this Jehovah Rapha means a God that healeth. Hallelujah. Not only physical, but spiritual as well. Second thing that I'd like to mention is Jehovah Nisha, the Lord our banner. Let me say that again. Jehovah Nisha, the Lord our banner. And the Bible says in the Song of Solomon, the banner, His banner over me is love. And so I want to pause right here for a moment. If you're living in victory today, it's because of the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart. Our victory is because of the love that the Lord has for us. Can you say amen? What would we have without the love of God? You say, well, Brother Jones, His mercy. His mercy would be empty. It was no love. Jehovah Nisha, the Lord, our banner, and His banner over me is love. Let me just read the words of a course. I have a source of strength when I am weak that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over with a shield of love. Thank God for His love. You want to know the love of God? Turn in your Bibles when you get home to the third chapter of John and read the words, "For God so loved the world." Brother, that's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. The third is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. In Philippians 4:7, Paul said, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And we sing the chorus, "I have peace, for I have Jesus." Let me say that one more time. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Let me tell you what happened when I got saved. I was miserable. When I went to church that night, I was a sinner. And every time the preacher preached, I was under conviction. God was dealing with my heart, and I kept on saying in my mind, didn't tell anybody, next time, another time, maybe next week, maybe the next revival. I was living in misery. I was living in sin, raised in Pentecost, raised in holiness, raised in the Christian church, and living in sin. Brother, that's terrible. I knew the truth. I experienced the truth as a young man, young boy. Now I was living a backslider's life. When my wife and I went to the altar, and I got saved, we got saved together. One of the first things that I can remember is peace came. I no longer was in turmoil. No longer battle. Peace like a river. Peace like a river began to flow over my soul. Let me say something one more time. After 58 years, that peace is still there. He's the Prince of Peace. Jehovah Shalom. I said Jehovah Rah. I said Jehovah Nisha. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord our peace. Number four. Jehovah Rah. The Lord my shepherd. The Lord my shepherd. And I said this before. I'm going to say it again. The seven compound titles of Almighty God have to do with redeemed man and his experience with God. Not with the sinner. The only way the sinner can enjoy this is get saved. When he said, "Jehovah, Rah, the Lord my shepherd," I thought about the 23rd Psalm. That first verse that says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I don't know how it was when you were in school, but things have changed a little bit since I was in school. While I was in high school, we had devotions in the class every morning. Can you imagine? Hampton High School. Hampton. Someone read the Bible every morning in what do they call that extra little homeroom time. Some things I've forgotten. That's what it was, homeroom. Someone would read the Bible and someone would lead in prayer. And it seems to me, and I, having been raised in church and knew something about, a little bit about the Bible, seemed like some of them only knew the 23rd Psalm. So whoever got up, they turned to the 23rd Psalm so often. But it's a good psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. If you can say that today, you're on your way to heaven. It is real. A lot of people say it, but it's not real. But if it's real in your heart, brother, you're saved by grace. The Lord is your shepherd, and His name is Jehovah, Jehovah Rah. The Lord, my shepherd, the Lord our shepherd. 15th chapter of Luke. And that's a wonderful story. Bible said a man, a shepherd had 100 sheep. And the day was over, and he's bringing them back to the fold. And as he brings them to the fold, here it is right over here. If you didn't know it, up here is the fold. And the sheep have been out there, and he's bringing them to the fold, and as they come into the fold, he's counting them. He knows them all by name. And when they go all in, there's only 99, and one's missing. And the Bible says that the shepherd went out to search for the one that was lost until he found him, put it on his shoulders, and brought him back, rejoicing, "I found the sheep." Let me just tell you another story. I was that one that was lost. And when the shepherd counted all the other sheep, I wasn't in the group. And he went searching for me. And I can tell you this morning, and I'm so glad he found me. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "I found the Lord." The Lord was never lost. It was me that was lost. I was the one that was lost. I was out in sin. I was out in the ways of the world. I was lost out there. But he went searching for me. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he came where I was. Hallelujah. Are you glad that he came to you? Thank God. His name is Jehovah Rea. The Lord our shepherd. Hallelujah. 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 I go to number 5, Jehovah continue. The Lord our righteousness. Let me say this as humbly as I know how. Without the Lord, we have nothing. We have no righteousness of our own. I'll make it as clear as I can. The only righteousness that an unsaved person has is self-righteousness. Isaiah says, all our righteousness as sinners, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Go back home. Go home today. Go to your garage. Find the most filthy rags you can find. Wherever. And notice, and God says, that's the way your righteousness is. Until you're clothed in my righteousness. Without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we have no hope whatsoever. Thank God, His name is Jehovah Shidkinu, the Lord our righteousness. I believe this, and that wasn't in the Sunday school lesson this morning. I believe that Adam and Eve, although they were unclothed before they sinned, I believe they were clothed in the righteousness of God. Amen, amen. I believe the righteousness of God covered them, and then when they sinned, God killed an animal and shed blood to give them a covering, a propitiation for their sins. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus died to make a covering for us, that we are now covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Brother, we've got something to shout about. His name is Jehovah Shidkinu, the Lord our righteousness. Number 6, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present, and I love this one. The Lord is present, Jesus said in Matthew 18, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And I thought about that, looking on the second bench. He says, Tommy Metz, he says, Billy Tucker, he said, Hilda Jones, three of you, because the three of you are here to worship in the name of the Lord, I am right there with you. Amen! Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. The Lord said, I will be with you in the 18th chapter. 18th chapter, maybe the 28th chapter. The Lord says, I'll never leave you. I'll be there. In the 41st chapter of Isaiah, he said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." If that could ever get through into our hearts and our minds, whatever you're going through in life, look around. He said, "I'm there. I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. Whatever you're going through, whatever the day, whatever the time, what a God, Jehovah, Shammah, the Lord is present." Now we're going to come to the 7th, which was really the first from the reading that I read today from the book of Genesis. God said to Abraham said to his son Isaac, Isaac said, "Daddy, where's the sacrifice? I've got the torch, the fire. The wood is on my back. We're going up the mountain to offer a sacrifice, a lamb. Where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? Abraham, with the anointing of God, knowing the promise of God, said, Son, my God will provide. The word provide in the dictionary means that God, or whatever, whoever, means a need will be supplied. Something that is needed will be supplied. And I'm going to leave this with you today. When Abraham said to his son Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb, Abraham was saying, son, God's going to supply. I want to use an illustration. I told you that my wife and I got saved together 58 years ago. And from that day to this, and this is not some fantasy story, from that day till this, God has supplied every need of our lives. I want to tell you another story. When the children of Israel had crossed the wilderness and come all the way to the borders of the Canaan land, Moses was told by God, you're going to die. You're not going into the Canaan land. You're going to come up on the mountain. You're going to die. And Joshua's going to lead them in. And so Moses called the people together. And he began to go over what God had done. How God had blessed. How God had met the needs of their lives. And he said something like this. And I don't know whether I've got it jotted down or not, but it's in the book of Deuteronomy. I don't think I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Listen to this. He said, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, his Moses, at the end of 40 years in the wilderness. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all thy works, and all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. 40 years in the wilderness. Moses says, 3 million. In a hot, burning desert. No air condition. No electric lights. No running water. No microwave. Not even a laptop nor cell phone. What are you going to do? How are you going to live? How are you going to make it? The Bible says, Moses said, God has taken care and met every need we've had for 40 years. When you're hungry, he fed you from heaven. When you needed to know which way to go, he just shined a light in the nighttime and told you this is the way. In the daytime, there was a pillar of a cloud, not only to direct the way, but to keep you cool. God's met every need of your life for 40 years. Sometimes we wonder if he's going to meet our needs today. Two of us in the home, is he going to meet my needs today? He took care of 3 million for 40 years. They didn't even have a tip of, what they call that nice mattress? Tip of Peter. Didn't even have a Tempur-Pedic mattress. How are you going to make it? God supplied every need. His name is Jehovah Jireh. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes I think we don't realize how big God is. And how good God is. And how God wants to do certain things for us. But we ought to thank Him right now for what He's already done. Sometimes we ask God, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? He might be saying to us, why don't you thank the Lord I did yesterday?
Come on.
Amen, amen. Worship God, hallelujah. The Lord is good. His name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. I told you just a moment ago, 58 years, my wife and I have been saved, and He's provided every need of our lives.
Amen.
Every need.
Amen.
What a God.
Yes.
I read in the Bible, I found that there was a time when there was a famine in the land. People were dying. I'm not going to go into the details, but it's worse than just people dying. It was a sad estate. And the Bible says that God told His prophet Elijah, I want you to go down to the brook Cherith. Water supply, there's a famine, the water supply is minimum, and food is run out, and people are dying. I want you to go down to the brook Cherith and drink of the waters of the brook, and I'm going to send the ravens to feed you in the morning and in the evening, bread and meat. One time I said, probably country ham, and then I thought, no, not for a Jew. Maybe steak and chicken. Somebody asked, where do the ravens, blackbirds, where do they get the food to bring to Elijah down by the brook? The Bible doesn't tell us. Somebody said they probably went to the palace, scooped out over the king's table, picked out the best for the preacher, and took it.
Yes.
I don't know exactly where it came from, but listen to this. However it came, it was a miracle, because we're serving a miracle God.
Right.
A miracle working God. God will provide.
Yes.
Now, we have our brother Johnson here visiting with us, and our teacher this morning said something about we'd be glad for him. Just move on back here where it belongs. Good to have you. I say that, and we love him. But he participates in the Meals on Wheels. Or did. Meals on Wheels. I want you to know this was things on wings.
Amen.
Good things on wings, because if God provided, it's good.
Amen.
But the Bible says the water, the river dried up, the brook dried up. He's God's man. God sent him there. The brook dried up. Sometimes the brook will dry up in your life. What are you going to do? Wait on God. I preached that last Sunday night. Wait on God. He's got the answer. God said, Elijah, now I want you to get from here. I want you to go to Zarephath. There's a widow woman there. A poor widow woman. She's going to look after you.
Right.
Now, the first thing we would do is say, can't you do better than that?
Uh-huh.
She don't have enough for herself and for her son. How's she going to help me?
Amen.
But God will provide.
Yeah.
He went to Zarephath. The woman's gathered, getting some sticks together. She's going to have one last meal. A little bit of oil, a little bit of meal in a pot there, and a little crucible oil. And she's going to make one last meal. She's going to make a whole cake for her and her son. They're going to eat it, and they're going to die with the rest of the people starving to death. And Elijah said, if you'll just go in there and make me a cake first, God will bless you. She believed it. She believed it was from God. She brought him a cake first. She went back in, and there was enough meal for her and her son. Woke up the next morning. Listen to this. Used up a meal, woke up the next morning, and God put some more meal in the barrel.
Amen.
Had another meal. Ate again the next day.
Yeah.
Went back the next day. There's more meal in the barrel.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, Brother Jones, where'd the meal come from? He's God, Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
The Bible says that they ate of the meal all that famine time until the famine was over. God took care of her and her son, and he belied until the famine was over. God's going to take care of us up until the famine's over. We're going to go out of here with victory.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Well, we got something to rejoice about today. He's Jehovah Jireh.
Yes,
hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. I read a little further in the Second Kings. I found there came a time when there was a prophet by the name of Elisha. The Bible said a preacher's wife sent for him. Her husband had died. A prophet had died. And the creditors had come to take her children, her sons. She owed money, and she didn't have any money. She was in dire straits. She sent for the preacher, for Elisha. And she told him the story. They've come to take my sons for the debt that I owe. I have no money. I have nothing to pay. They're going to take my two boys. My husband's dead. Now they're going to take my two boys. And Elisha the prophet said to the lady, what do you have in the house? Listen to these words. First word she says was, nothing. And then she added, nothing but a little bit of oil. Nothing but a little bit of oil. And Elisha said, tell your sons, get your sons to go buy all the pots and pans of the neighbors and bring them in the house and shut the door. You take that little tiny bit of oil and you pour it in that first pot. And when that pot is full, you take that little bit of oil and pour it in the next pot. And pour it in the next pot. And she did until all the pots were filled. And Elisha said, now go and sell the oil and live what's left there. And she lived on the rest of her life.
Amen.
We find out that she and her sons, God provided a livelihood for them out of that little bit of oil. Remember the statement that I make right now. A little something is a whole lot if God's in it.
God's in it, yes.
God sent it. I don't care how small it is, how insignificant it is, how little bit of talent we might have, whatever it might be. If God is in it, brother, it's something. Little as much if God is in it. God took a little bit of oil and He brought forth that oil well in a woman's kitchen and brought forth enough oil for her to live on the rest of her life with her son. Brother, if God can do that for her, He can take care of us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What is His name? Jehovah Rapha? Jehovah Nisi? Jehovah Rea? Jehovah Sitinu? Jehovah Shammah, missed that one. Finally, Jehovah Jireh. But keep this in mind. He's Almighty God. And all seven of these compound titles that I have shared with you from the Bible have to do with His relationship between Him and the believer. Him and the redeemed. A unsaved person is not in on that. The unsaved person is lost and out and done. Out yonder in the world without any hope, without God. What I have said with you this morning, the seven compound titles, meaning seven being complete. God will take care of us completely in our lives. And I say this humbly as I know how. From the moment I got saved until He takes me out of here, I believe that He's able to take care of me every need that I ever have and ever will have until He takes me out. God will take care of me completely. His name is Jehovah Jireh. Every time I think about what God has done for me, it makes me wonder why He could love me. What a God, what a Savior. I'm going to close in a moment or two. Keep this in mind. The sad part about it is the multitudes today don't know Him as the great supplier. Don't know Him as the banner over us being love. Don't know Him as the peace, the shepherd, the righteousness. They don't know Him as that. All they know, some people have the idea that He's just out to get me. God's not out to get anyone. He's out to save.
Yes.
I thought about when God came to Adam in the cool of the day. After they'd wronged, that Adam came into the garden and asked the question, where art thou? Listen to this, if you will. God initiated. God initiated the conversation to get them to realize where they were and what they had done so they would come back to God. He offered a sacrifice to cover their nakedness and to forgive their sins. Personally, and I know we didn't get to discuss this very much in the class, personally, I believe that Adam and Eve accepted God. I believe when he had asked them, where art thou? And they responded and they realized their sin and they committed a sin against God. Now, you might have a different opinion and that's all right. But let me say this today out of the depths of my heart. Our God will take care of us. He's my Savior. He's my Shepherd. He's my King. He's my Savior. He's my Sanctifier, my Baptizer. He's my Healer. He's my Everyday. He's all that I need today. Hallelujah. If you'll only let Him have His way in your life today, I'm not talking to Christians, maybe, but let Him have His way in your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to thrill your heart, amen. It's good to be saved, but we don't need to get saved and sit down. So stand up and worship God. Stand up and magnify God. Stand up and let Him know that you love Him, amen. What a good God we're serving. His name is Jehovah God. I'll come back to the Scripture now. I'm going to close. I said this in that verse, I think it was verse 5. When Abraham said to his servants, I and the lad will go yonder. We're going to offer sacrifice. You read the rest of that verse. It insinuates that I and the lad will come back. Why could he say that? Because he believed God was going to do what God said He would do. God said, I'm going to use Isaac as the promised son to bring about the blessings in your life, Abraham, and the blessings in the nations and all the peoples of the world. I am blessed this morning because God had Abraham and Isaac come back down that mountain together. Had Brother Jones because through Isaac, the Messiah came. Thank God. Thank God, thank God. Jehovah. Jehovah. Sometimes, come on to the piano. Sometimes we allow words to roll off of our tongue before they really mean something in our hearts. When Dreamer concluded the lesson this morning and feeling what she was teaching, and we felt it as well, broken as when you think about what Jesus went through that we might be saved. when you think about the suffering that he went through, that you might be in church this morning, it ought to cause us to say, thank God, thank God, thank God. Help us never to forget what he paid for our salvation, how much it cost for our salvation to be. For him to be our banner over us is love. For him to be our righteousness. For him to be all that we need today. For all of that to happen, aren't you glad that he took our place on Calvary? I close. I'd like for you to take all seven of those names. I'd like for you to think about them. Because each of them have a part in your life. If you have a full life, it'll be because of one of those names for that occasion. I end with this. Sometimes it's been said that Jehovah Jireh means something besides providing. I'm going to use one illustration. We're going to stand and close. 1939. The Pentecostal Holiness Church in Newport News moved into a new church on 25th Street. It was a great day. A lot of my relatives were from North Carolina for that great day, the new church, the dedication. Crowd of people. Brother Spence had my grandfather to pray the first prayer in the church, visiting from North Carolina. I grew up in that church from 1939 to 1948 till I graduated from high school. Behind the choir, right where that cross is, in that church on 25th Street, there was a sign so wide and so high. And this is what it said. Have faith in God. Two different scriptures, one from Mark and one from Corinthians. Have faith in God. Now listen to the last part. The Lord, He sees and will provide. I saw that sign every Sunday. For 9 years before I left home, in the service, 9 years every Sunday, I saw that sign, have faith in God, the Lord He sees and will provide. A lot of years passed and I didn't have it in my mind to think about it. But after I got saved, after God has taken care of us, it seemed like that sign is more meaningful now, Joyce, than it ever was. You remember the sign. Have faith in God, the Lord He sees and will provide. And I'm here as your pastor this morning to tell you how God will take care of you if you'll serve Him with all of your heart. One other illustration that's just come to my mind. Paul had, with Silas, had founded the church in Philippi. After he left, he had taught them the doctrines of the Bible. He had taught them the Bible doctrines and the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught them about salvation and all the rest. And he left and went on his way. And finally, they were suffering back in Jerusalem. The Christians were going through a difficult time. Persecution. Had no money. They needed help. And so Paul told the peoples of the churches in Asia Minor, would you take up an offering, a love offering, for the saints back in Jerusalem that are suffering in such a manner? And the Bible says the Philippian church had obeyed God and followed God and lived righteously, and they loved God. They kept the commandments. They paid their tithes, and they were reaching out to others, and they received an offering. They received a nice offering to send back to Jerusalem to the saints that were hurting. Paul said these words in the 4th chapter of Philippians, the 19th verse. Because you have followed the Bible truths, because you have followed the commandments of God, because you have lived righteously and holy, because you have obeyed all that God has asked of you, because you walked in the ways of holiness, because you have tithed, because you have reached out to others. Listen to these words. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But now I want to bring the hammer down. That's not for everyone that claims to be a Christian. That's for those like the Philippians that were obeying God, that were living holy, righteously, that were tithing, that were reaching out to others, not only for themselves, they were reaching out to be a blessing to others. Paul said, with the anointing of Almighty God, my God shall supply your needs. And I'm here to tell you, God will never fail you. He'll supply. Will you stand together with me?